Awesome job. Awesome job. How about that worship team today? You guys were amazing. Amazing. Did an amazing job. So great to be together this morning. However, most of us are joining us online this morning. I want to say especially welcome to all of you. And we certainly live in trying times. But I sense that there's someone out there right now, you need to know that God loves you. That His love will never leave you. And even though you don't feel it, even though you may not see it, He loves you. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That you are not alone this morning. That He is with you. And He cares deeply about you. And so I want to begin this morning with just a prayer. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. Lord, I thank You that what we're about to do here, Lord, has eternal consequences. And Lord, I thank You for what we're about to hear here, Lord, has an ability to change and transform our hearts and lives. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, for every person who's watching now. That's right. If you're watching online, if you just close your eyes in this moment, put your hand on your heart. And I pray for you. I pray that the Lord would give you eyes to see all the opportunities that you have in this moment. That your ears would hear the voice of His Spirit, that still small voice. And that your life would be receptive to everything that the Lord speaks to you in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in trying times. But you know that these times, I promise you, there will be a day where there will be peace again. There will be a day again where things will seem to come back to some sense of normalcy. So between now and then, since we know it's coming, let's begin to rejoice now. Let's begin to thank God now for what He's about to do. You know, when things are in upheaval and difficult times come, people tend, it's just human nature, to begin to identify ourselves with different segments in society. I identify myself as a male, or you identify yourself, if you're a woman, as a female. You begin to identify yourself as either being black or white or Asian or Hispanic, or you begin to identify yourself with those that are conservative or maybe those who are liberal. You begin to identify yourself as a Republican or a Democrat, and we begin to take sides and we begin to measure ourselves against those that which we are not, we don't identify with, in order to see who's really the most righteous. But I want to just say to you today that there's only one person that we should be identifying ourselves. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we should only be identifying ourselves with Jesus. That we are Christians. That word means like little Christ-like ones. That we are Christ-like ones. And that we have been given a new identity. We are new people in Christ. We've been changed. We're different. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, rebukes them for the sin that's in the Corinthians church. And then here in the second letter, which we're going to be looking at today, he reminds the Corinthians that his authority is apostolic. And there are those that are in Corinth that are Judaizers. They're saying they're of the group that says, you know what, Jesus is awesome, but He's not enough. Not only do you have to have Jesus, but you got to follow the law too. And Paul confronts them in this letter in 2 Corinthians. He defends his own ministry. And he reminds them of what Jesus has done in the lives of those who've been born again. And so I want to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to look at this reality, this picture that Jesus paints for every born again Christian. He says, "For we know that when this earthly tent that we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, that we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not with human hands." He's reminding them, like I'm reminding you today, that today is not the end of everything. Today is only one more step towards the end. That there's a day coming when you will pass from this life into the next life. And that's what he's saying. We're going to leave this earthly tent and we'll go to an eternal body made for us by God Himself, not by human hands. Verse 2 says, "We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing." I don't know if you've ever had anything new, but it's so Of course you have. I mean, it's so cool. I remember the first new vehicle I ever had. Just the smell of it, the look of it. In fact, on the odometer, it only had 3 or 4 miles on it. And I remember that feeling. But when you come to Christ, that's not just a once feeling and then it's over. It's a whole new reality for you. We grow weary in our present bodies. We long to put on our heavenly bodies, just like new clothing. Verse 3 says, "For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies." In other words, you're not just going to go somewhere and you just be a spirit, but when you go to heaven, you'll also have a heavenly body. And while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. What's he saying here? Boy, there's plenty opportunity for us to be discouraged, for us to be fearful, for us to be depressed, for us to look at our human bodies the way they are in the natural and to forget that we have been transformed, that we have been changed, that we are no longer subject to just our human bodies, then we die, but we're going to a place where we have a whole new life and a whole new body. Verse 4 says that we groan and sigh. We struggle in these hours. We struggle in these hours if we're white, if we're black, if we're Hispanic, if we're Asian. We struggle with these identities that being conservative or being liberal or being Republican or being Democrat or being city dwellers or those who dwell in rural areas. We struggle with all that in this hour, in this time. But he says, look, don't remember. He says, remember that things have changed for us. And we have the opportunity to put on our new bodies so that those dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. And that's the objective. The objective is that we become so Christ-conscious with our life, that we know him, that we walk with him, that we're transformed by him, and that we understand that we have the opportunity to swallow up all these groanings, all these sighs, all these desperate feelings that we have. Those can be all swallowed up by life, not just in the heavenlies, but now, in this time. Verse 5 says, "For God has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit." That's the key. The key is that God's Spirit lives within you, that Christ Jesus inhabits you. He lives inside of you. He's changed your heart. He's changed your life. And so the guarantee that something better awaits us after this life is the Holy Spirit today, that we can live a heavenly life today by the Spirit of God. Verse 6 says, "So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord." This is not our home, brothers and sisters. This is not the place that we were designed to live in. No, we are aliens. We're foreigners. And as aliens and foreigners living in this land, we have an opportunity to let our light shine. Jesus said that a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, to let our light shine. We're the light of the world. To let our light shine so that when people see us, they will thank God who is in heaven. And so we're always confident, he says, that knowing that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. The New King James Version says we walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot walk by what we see. Why? Because what we see is passing away. But we live our lives by faith, by those things that we cannot see. Why? Because the things that we cannot see are more real than the things that we actually can see. And so when we look at and survey the situation across Dallas, Texas, the situation across our state, across our nation, across our world, it's so easy. It's so easy to get depressed. It's so easy to feel hopeless. It's so easy to feel like God has forsaken us. But the point is, we cannot live by what we see because we live by faith. As a born-again Christian, We live by what we cannot see. We live by the promises that God has made us. We see in every desperate crisis, we see an opportunity to let our light shine. And in letting our light shine, we have the opportunity to see lives changed and transformed forever. And you're sitting out there today, you're wondering, how on earth could God ever use me? Let your light shine. Wherever you go, whatever you do, when you go to the grocery, when you go to the supermarket, when you go to the cleaners, when you go to the gas station, when you go anywhere that you got a restaurant or anything, let your light shine. And in so doing, you have the opportunity to give hope to those who are sitting in the darkness. The Bible says that we are confident. We're confident knowing that we're not at home here, but that the Lord has a home for us because we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8 says we're fully confident that we would rather be away from these heavenly bodies, for then we'd be at home with the Lord. So whether we're here in the body or we're away from this body, our goal is to please Him. Verse 10, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. This is not the judgment of the world. This is the believer's judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. That we stand before Christ and the judgment seat of Christ in that day, where each of us will receive what we deserve for good or for evil and all that we've done in this earthly body. Now, that's a fact. That's what's going to happen to us. The Bible says that some will come in with gold, silver, bronze, but others, everything that they had here will be burned up. Both will get into heaven, but some will come in with rewards. And so we'll stand before Christ to be judged, every one of us. And in being judged, each of us will give an account for how we've lived our lives. Paul says, he says, because we understand our fearful responsibility. In other words, we know, the New King James Version says, we know the terror of the Lord. What is that terror? That every word and every deed of ours in these bodies will be judged. He says that. And so we work hard to persuade others. God knows we're sincere. He says to the Corinthians, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? Are we just bragging on ourselves? Are we just patting ourselves on the back, he says? No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us so that you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. Who's he pointing back to? He's saying, look, these guys that are there in Corinth, these Judaizers, these guys who profess to know Christ, but they belong to that club that Christ is not quite enough, that we also got to live by the law of Moses, by every word that Moses spoke. And so those guys compare themselves among themselves. And those guys talk about the spectacular ministry that they have, but there's no heart change. So Paul says, look, I'm commending ourselves to you because why? Because we want to give you a reason to brag on us. Not our spectacular ministry, but our sincere heart. And if it seems like we're crazy, he says, verse 13, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Paul says in another version, his love compels us. It makes us get out there and share his life. Why? Because we love him, he loves us, and he loves the world through us. So since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all died to our old life. Now here's what I want to show you. See, the Bible says in Romans that we are a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice, remember, sacrifice is sacrifice on the altar of God. The problem with a living sacrifice is that we tend to get up off that altar from time to time. And we are a living sacrifice, the Bible says. And so the Bible says, though, that we believe that Christ died for all, so also believe that we all have died to our old life. So we got to stay on that altar. We got to stay before God. Not as an act of obedience to the law, but out of relationship with God who loves us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. And the Bible says in verse 16, so we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We stopped that. We stopped looking and regarding each other according to the flesh. We say, oh, wow, I see, you know, that person, you know, wow, he has really lived his life for Christ. And this person over here really hasn't. And this person really done great things for God. And this really good person has done much for God. This person over here is a Greek, a Hellenizer, but this person over here is Jewish. And this guy over here is a slave, and this guy over here is free. Paul says, look, we don't do that anymore. We don't regard you by the color of your skin. We don't regard you by the things that you've accomplished here on earth. We don't regard you anymore by the earthly accoutrements of the obedience that you've had towards God. We don't look at you like that anymore, he says. And we do not regard you according to the flesh. But one time, he says, we thought of Christ merely as a human. How different we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the Bible says. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Now, here's what I want you to hear today, is that you are not the same person that you used to be. Your life is different. We're not to regard you the same way that we used to regard you. We're not to see you the same way that we used to see you. But we are to understand that the old things have passed away, that all things have become new. You are a new creation. You're a new person in Christ. You're different than you used to be. Your life has become new. It's not the old life that's had a little sugar sprinkled on it. Now you become a nicer person. No, it's the old person has passed away. He's died. He's gone. And a new person has come to life. That you're different than you used to be. I was born in the flesh, Joe Martin Jr., and I lived for 23 years of my life like that. But back in 1983, I was born again. And not only am I Joe Martin Jr., but the old man passed away and something new came to life, the new creation inside of me. It was life-changing for me, and it should be life-changing for you if you're born again. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. It was back in that day that my old self died. Under the waters of baptism, the Bible says that he stayed there, that old life did. And what came out of the waters of baptism was a new creation in Christ, born to walk in newness, in the newness of Christ. Verse 18 says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. The Father's heart from the very beginning was to be reconciled, was us to be restored in a relationship where we could know him, where we could have a relationship with him, where we could sup with him, where we could talk to him and he could talk back to us, where we could have a relationship, a personal relationship with him, where we could hear his voice. And where we could walk with him in his ways. God has given us, the Bible says, this task of reconciling people to him. So all of this is a gift from God. God has brought us back to himself through Christ. And as a result of experiencing being reconciled to God personally, he's then given us this task of reconciling people to himself. Now we have a purpose for living. We have a new reason for living. That new reason for living is to share the love of Christ with others. It's to share the life of Christ with others. You see what he's done for me. He's not a respecter of people. He can do the same thing for you. And that's what our life ought to look like. We're not here gathered today in person, all of us together in this one room, sitting next to each other, talking to each other, loving each other, and then walking out of the room. No, we're scattered across the city, across the state, and across the nation this morning. All different places this morning. And it's time, Jesus is saying to us, for the church to arise, for it to be what he created it to be, a new creation in Christ with a ministry, a purpose for living, reconciling people back to God, because that's the task that God has given us. Verse 19 says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What is the message? That God forgives you. That Jesus paid the price for your sin, past, present, and future, by his death upon the cross. By the shedding of his blood, our sins were remitted. He took the penalty that you and I deserve. He was the substitutionary sacrifice, perfect, spotless, blameless, that he died for us in our place, that we might have life. And that's the message he's given us, that message of reconciliation. We have a new message. Bible says that we are Christ's ambassadors, that God is making his appeal through us, that we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the heartbeat of the Father, that we would come back to God. He desires that none should perish, but that all should come into a personal relationship with him. He wants you back. And if you're sitting out there today and you feel estranged from God, away from God, if you feel the weight of your sin, you can know this today, that if you'll come to Christ, he'll forgive you of your sins, he'll release you of the penalty of those sins, and he will make all things new, because that's what God does. He doesn't just take the old you that's all jacked up, screwed up, messed up, and sort of put a little sugar on you, a little powder on you, and help you make it through this life. No, what does he do? He transforms your life so that you're not the same person. He's given us, all of us whose lives have been transformed, he's given us a new job description. What is that job description? That we are ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes into a foreign land and represents the king from which he came. We're representatives of King Jesus. And we implore you, we have one message. We have one thing that we're begging you to do. Come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ. What does that mean? That we might become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Several weeks ago, I said to you that God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. What we're going through, we've never been through before. What we're dealing with, we've never had to deal with before. What we're going to go back to is not going to be the same as what we came from, because there is no going back. There's only the going forward. And as we go forward, we're going to find new challenges. We're going to find new problems, new issues, new stuff that we're going to have to deal with. But here's what I want you to know, is that God is doing a new thing. And the reason it's not going to be the same is because God desires that we should seek him. Not that we should work it out in our own power, our own might, our own minds, our own way of thinking. But he's doing a new thing. Then we might seek him, the Bible says. That we might grope for him. It's like a blind person, a person who's in a room of total darkness, feeling around, hoping to be able to find that thing, that lost flashlight in the room. God says that in the hope that we would grope for him, that we'd feel around in the darkness in order to find our Savior. God's doing a new thing. And what we come out of in the next few weeks or months or however long it takes, we will enter into a whole new reality. It won't be the same as what we left. It'll be different. But God's doing a new thing. He's given us a new covenant. It's not like the old covenant. In the old covenant, we had to live by the law, and we had to keep the law. In the new covenant, we live by love. That Christ loves us. And again, you may need to hear this today, that you are loved. The devil right now is telling you, you know what? I'm not loved. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know all the stuff that I've done. He doesn't know what I've been through. He doesn't know all the sins I've committed. Well, I can tell you this. You're right about that. I don't know all this. But what I do know is the love and the grace of God is able to swallow all that up, because he loves you. He desires to have a relationship with you. He's given us a new covenant. What is that new covenant? That every one of us, from the least to the greatest, we'll be able to know the Lord. It's not something that we would have to find ourselves a mediator, somebody in the middle between us and God. but it'd be the opportunity for us to go straight into the throne room of heaven ourselves. The Bible says that God is doing a new thing. He's given us a new covenant. We have a new song. Yeah, we have a new song on our lips. God will declare to us new things, the Bible says. His mercy is new every morning for us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy endures forever. His tender mercies are new for us every morning. So what does that mean? That means that every morning when you wake up, God shows mercy towards you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. The Bible says in Ezekiel that he'll put a new heart in our chest, and he'll give us a new spirit, that we'll have a new tongue, according to Mark chapter 16. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. What is that commandment? That you love one another just like I've loved you. There's a new birth for all those who are born again. It's not like you, again, it's not the old you who just made better. Like the old you, you know, you used to cuss and smoke and drink and run around and do bad things at night. And so what the new you is that I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't run around anymore at night. And so somehow we think we're Christian. No. You see, what happens is the old you has to die so that a new creation can come to life. So that just doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to Nicodemus either. But what does Jesus say? He said, if you are going to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If you're going to enter that kingdom, you must be born again. Christ has made it possible for us to be transformed by the laying down of our life and the living for the life of Christ. A new family. Not only has he given us a new tongue, a new commandment, a new birth, but he's given us a new family. We belong to the body of Christ. When you come to Christ, no longer do you have to be subject to the dysfunction in your earthly family. Now you get to be a part of a new family, the church of the living God. And so God wants us to walk in newness of life. He's given us newness of life that we might walk in it. He's made us a new creation in Christ, not the same. All things have become new to us. We have a new life. Now, that's going to be good news to some of you who are tired of the life that you got, who've absolutely run your life that you have all the way up to the red line, who've nearly destroyed your life with addictions or brokenness or broken relationships. But God said, look, here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm not even going to try to fix the old. I'm just going to let the old die so something new can come together. He's given us a new purpose for living. Once he put the light inside of us, we let the light shine. And so we have an opportunity then to let the light shine on those who are sitting in the darkness. How do we do that? By sharing what Christ has done for us. He's given us a new life, a new job description. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That means that we serve God by speaking out to others, encouraging others, demonstrating for others the love of Christ, and in demonstrating that for them, I mean, the opportunity to bring them into the family of Christ. We are ambassadors, the Bible says. We represent him wherever we go and whatever we do. We can put on the new man. We can put on a new man according to Ephesians 4. That new man, like putting on a new suit every day. It's a reminder to cover our own nakedness that now we have Christ. Christ. He's made it a new and living way to God. A new and living way to God. He's given us a new body. We'll have a new name in heaven. There'll be a new city in which we will dwell in. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. Why? Because God makes all things new. He makes all things new. Now, I want to leave you with two things today. Number one, I want to tell you this. Jesus loves you. No matter what you feel, no matter what that voice in your head is saying, he loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to die on the cross for you. If you'd been the only sinner on the planet, he would have given his life for you. And in giving his life for you, he's made it possible for us to have a new life. Not just the old one made better. It's not like, you know, one time I went in to buy some laundry detergent. It's been years ago now. And as I was looking, I think perhaps it may have been the first or second time I brought my own laundry detergent, I saw that you could buy a box of Tide detergent. Or you could buy a box of new and improved Tide. Or you could buy a box of Tide with blue crystals. But you know what, Pastor Matthew? It was all the same Tide. It was all the same Tide. Whether it said new and improved, whether it said new with blue crystals, it was still the same thing. It was still the same thing. But that's not what God does to you. He doesn't improve you. He lets the old you die and brings a new you to life. And so I want to let you know today that you can have a whole new life. You can have a whole new life. Played golf this weekend with my son and son-in-law. Had such a great time. But off one of the tees, you know, my ball went out of bounds. And so instead of counting that shot, you know what we did? We're going to do a do-over. Do-over. Got a whole new shot. Now, without any regard, the old one was gone, got a whole new tee shot. Whole new tee. Second one went straight out there in the middle of the fairway. You can have a whole new life. We can do it over. Do it over. This time you do it for Christ. This time you can do it for Christ. He loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You can go kicking and screaming, or you can open your heart and you can yield it to Him today. And if you'll yield your heart to Jesus today, He'll make all things new for you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I want you to take a minute. We're going to have a reprise of our worship. And as we sing this worship song, I want you to do this. I want you just to close your eyes. Whether you're born again today or you're not sure, I want us all to do the same thing. I want us to all to put our hand on our heart, to close our eyes, and invite Jesus to have all of us. Yeah, to have all of us. One of the reasons we believe in baptism by total immersion, not just sprinkling, but total immersion, is because that's what we believe takes to have Christ come into your life. You got to totally yield everything to Him. You see, not only is He wants to be your Savior, but He wants to be the Lord of all your life. And so as we sing this song with your hand on your heart, your eyes closed, just invite Jesus to have all of you. Invite Him to have all of you. If you want to accept Christ today as your personal Savior, maybe for the first time in your life, all you have to do there is to raise your hand. You can see the button there, or let somebody know. One of our pastors, one of our leaders, will connect with you via text and will pray with you and stand with you. Maybe if you have any kind of prayer need, that they can, you just make yourself known by raising your hand there electronically. And someone will contact you immediately and pray with you. I believe in you. I believe that our encounter today is not a chance. I believe that you're hearing by divine appointment. And I believe God has something wonderful for you. So I want you to put your hand on your heart. As you close your eyes, as we sing this song, invite Christ to have all of you.